The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever.
You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely for them, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin.
The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.
I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of angels, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Our very first Bible reading today had these words: "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those words were written to people living in dark times, about 750 years before Jesus. I know British people, we like to complain about how hard everything is, don't we? How dark it is. But you know what? Throughout history and throughout geography, things have been much worse than we know today. And one of those times, those dark times, was back in the time of Isaiah, when he gave that prophecy about someone coming who would be a light in the darkness, who would turn gloom into joy, a child who would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Christmas time, if you're a regular here, you'll know we've been going through those four things: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And today we're just going to think for a few minutes about what it means that Jesus is the Everlasting Father. And just to say straight away, of course, Isaiah is not just confused about the Trinity. You know, if you're a Bible geek here today, maybe you're thinking that question. But he's not confusing the Son with the Father here. He's talking about the character of the Messiah, what Jesus would be like. One time, one of Jesus' disciples, a guy called Philip, said this to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, show us the Father. We want to see God. We want to understand what God is like. Show us the Father, Jesus." And Jesus, in one of those, I think, quite amusing and quite poignant moments, says, "Don't you get it, Philip? After all this time we've spent together, you still don't understand. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In other words, Jesus is saying, everything you need to know about who God is, you can see in me. People think today that there are all kinds of different ways of finding God. Jesus says, no, the only way to find God is me. You want to know what God is like? Look at me. I'll show you perfectly what God is like. That word, Father, it generates all kinds of emotions in us, doesn't it? Maybe today you're grateful for a good father who loved you, spent time with you, who taught you, who poured affection onto you, who gave you security. My dad gave me a love of the Bible, amongst other things. He also gave me, actually, long before I loved the Bible, I loved wires, which he also loves. He gave me my first soldering iron. He gave me my first toolbox. Some of the tools I still have, believe it or not. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a good father. For others, that word father just means loss to you because he's no longer here. He's not here this Christmas time. Or perhaps he was never there for you, actually. Never as much as you wanted. For still others, you had terrible fathers, honestly. Father to you is someone who you feared and avoided. But for just a minute, let's set aside our own experience of what our fathers were like and ask, what does God say about what a father is? Because if Jesus is like an everlasting father to us, then what does that mean? It must mean something. Well, first of all, I want to give you two things. First of all, it's someone who gives life. You know, none of us would be here, would we, if we didn't have an earthly father who'd given us life. But the Bible speaks of spiritual life too, a kind of life that we all hunger for, but so few find. The Bible talks about spiritual life, a kind of connectedness with our Maker, a life with meaning, a life with value and purpose. Jesus said this. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Some of you know what that means, what that feels like. Some of you here today have had bits of your life stolen from you by other people. And sometimes by bad choices that we've made as well. Stolen away, destroyed. But Jesus says this, "But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, to the fullest extent of all that life means. I've come for that purpose." One of Jesus' purposes is to give us life, full life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. The other thing a father does for you, or should, a good father, is someone who gives love. What does it mean for a father to love? Well, maybe it means cuddles and affection and saying, "I love you," all those kind of things. And they're important, aren't they? But even more important than that is sacrifice. Good dads don't use their strength for their own convenience. Good dads use their strength and their ability not to protect themselves, but to protect their loved ones. Good dads make sacrifices. They put the well-being of their loved ones before their own well-being. Your needs instead of his. Your interests above his own. That's how you know you're loved by your father. Self-sacrifice. Listen again to Jesus. This is from John chapter 10. He says, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. When Jesus went to the cross, we're remembering Jesus' birth this time of year, but it's all intertwined, it's all linked in with his birth and his death as well. When Jesus went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, nobody took his life from him. This is God in human form. How could anybody take his life from him if this is mighty God? They have no power over him except what he chose to give away. He set aside all the privileges of godness to lay down his life for our benefit. That's fatherly love. That's fatherly love. To sacrifice himself for us, for our sin, for our forgiveness. And the glorious thing is that Jesus is an everlasting Father. An everlasting Father. Of course, all our human fathers pass away, don't they? And even the very best fathers are only temporary. But once you have the life that Jesus offers, once we are his and he is ours, that is forever. There are no goodbyes with him. He will always be like a good father to us. That's why he can promise to his disciples, I am with you always. We started our service this afternoon with a poem read by a little girl with Down syndrome. I'm just going to repeat some of the words that she said because they're so beautiful. She said this. So gathered round that wee baby boy. There's a lot of Scottish influence in today's service. I don't know if you've noticed. So gathered round that wee baby boy. All people are welcome to know heaven's joy. From angels to donkeys, from shepherds to kings, the little Lord Jesus, God's welcome he brings. He came to our darkness from heaven above. He stooped to the crib and the cross out of love. He shared in our weakness and meekness and mess. And still he embraced us nevertheless. If you're feeling rejected, excluded, a stranger, remember the one who came down to the manger. There is no greater or deeper joy than knowing that Jesus is like an everlasting Father to you, who gives life and who gives love forever. There's nothing like it. That those of you who have been here for a while, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, you know that's true, don't you? I wanted to share with you, we're starting a course in January. I just wanted to mention it this evening. It's a free 3-week course for those who just want to find out more about Jesus. It's all about hope. It's called Hope Explored. 3 weeks. You can sign up. That will be on the screen later on. You can just hit the QR code on your phone and it will sign you up for more information. Or maybe tonight you're just ready to take a step closer towards him. Maybe this afternoon you're not ready to give your life to him. I get that. You'd be insane to devote the whole of your life to someone that you barely know. But maybe you do feel ready to take a step closer. You know, you can do that just with a very simple prayer. Just admit your faults, and genuinely ask for his forgiveness and his help. So I'm just going to pray. It's going to be very simple. But if it's meaningful to you, then just say amen at the end of it and pray in your mind alongside me. And we'll draw near to the Lord Jesus right now. So Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have shown us what Father God is like so perfectly. And Lord, whether we had good fathers or terrible fathers, help us to see you as the ultimate Father who gives life and who perfectly loves us forever. Thank you that we can come to you, knowing that you're a good Father. Lord, we freely admit our many faults, our many failings to you, knowing that you will never turn us away. Help us to trust in you in the same way that a child would trust a perfect father. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.